Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 66. And this episode is brought to you by our faithful supporters. This is our second ever Patreon pool.
Yeah. Yes.
Very awesome.
That's so exciting. You probably ought to tell people what that means.
Exactly. Go for it.
So our Patreon pool is a perk that we give to some of our patron supporters where they occasionally get to limit the pool of games that we choose from, where normally we randomize from a pretty large selection of games. We pick some of their favorites or ones that they specifically want to hear our input in and randomly select from a significantly smaller pool that they've chosen, which ups the odds of us playing a game that they're interested in significantly.
Yeah, significantly. And so it was a much, much smaller pool this time. You'll find out what game we played just here shortly, although you could probably also look at the title of this episode and you could find that as well. Nolan, you sent us some news this week about Capcom. Do you want to kind of just reiterate that right now?
Sure. So Capcom released on mobile Mega Man 1 through 6, I think. No?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Okay,
I don't know which numbers it is.
I think it goes to 6. So they are wanting to jump on that mobile game, I guess, because they're, seeing other big names put out some, like Mario, for instance, the Mario Run game. I don't know what the reason was, but you can now play it on mobile, and it's not doing well. Apparently, there's a lot of bugs, a lot of issues, and it's not running smoothly.
No, I've heard really, really bad things about the quality of that
release.
It's
a bummer.
That's like, frustrating.
You would think those games wouldn't be hard to port.
And you're talking $2 each is what I understand, not like two for the whole pack. And they're like buggy.
Oh, wow, that's not
I think
cool.
I may be misremembering that
I don't
part.
Know, but still, I don't think...
But $2 if it's broken, each is not a big deal. I wouldn't pay that.
No. That's what I'm saying. For a poor quality, I wouldn't pay that. Like, are you kidding me?
It's I wouldn't want to pay anything bad. For poor quality. But here's the thing. This is potentially very exciting. Like, I would love to have some Mega Mans on mobile.
I would, too. I would play that so much, but I'm not even going to bother if they
don't fix it. I have a hard time doing the old games on the phone thing. Like the interface and everything, it's not my
deal. Mega Man is two buttons, right? I mean, Mega Man is jump and shoot.
Yeah, I think it's a unique case with Mega Man. Not unique completely. There are other games that would work, but I feel like Mega Man works so well because it's very straightforward.
Yeah, we play...
I mean, it's going to be hard. Those games are hard with a controller.
Those games are hard. Yeah, we played 2 as a part of this podcast. And,
amazing.
I don't know, are either of you going to try it on mobile or are you just going to abstain?
No, since we've talked about it and I love 2 so much, I'll probably go back and play it on my NES Classic a little bit. But like,
Oh, it's
okay,
on there?
Just show off. Yeah, whatever.
It's on
I think
the
1
NES
and
Classic?
2, right?
Yeah, no, just 2.
Nice.
Is my...
Yeah, 1 and 2, right.
That's awesome. I'm going to if they fix it. If they... put out some patch that says that they took care of the issues, I'd get Mega Man 2 at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it could be awesome. I hope that they fix whatever problems there are. I don't know if they will, but it could be awesome to play Mega Man on mobile. Like it'd be difficult with the button configuration, but I'd love to take out some Metal Man, some Shadow Man, and the first Robot Master with an animal themed design, Snake Man. Snake!
Oh, no, not.
Overview. All right. So if you didn't catch the reference because you're not familiar with Dustin yelling Snake, I actually went to the Badger video when you yelled that. Our game this week is a classic title called Metal Gear Solid.
Classic.
The main character's name in the game.
Some might even say titular.
No one would say that, really.
The title character
titular
in the game is referred to as Solid Snake, and that's where Dustin Segway sort of tried to work. I'll give it to you. So Metal Gear Solid is an action-adventure kind of stealth game that was released for the PlayStation in 1998. It is a Konami title, which for the most part we have found ups my expectations about the quality of games we're about to play. And it is the first 3D game in the Metal Gear series, which has sort of had a couple predecessors before this one, though I think this is probably the most well-known title. And your character is dumped into a crazy international conflict with nuclear weapons and all kinds of things, and you are playing as a basically a spy, a special ops kind of person that formerly worked for Foxhound and now is tried to retire and go just be a dog sled racer in Alaska. I don't know what that's about.
Is that really?
And it's, yeah.
I missed that part.
Like, yeah, that's what he was doing. He was like off raising huskies. Nice. He was gonna like be in the Iditarod, and he couldn't because he got recruited by the government. Anyways, story aside, you are now thrust into the middle of this conflict and have to use your stealth and skills and what have you to navigate through an enemy base and fight some bosses. And pretty much, this is one of the first most popular games that sort of kicked off that whole like spy stealth interacting genre.
Yeah.
Or at least the most well known.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely had its hand in those early stages. Now the majority of the game is kind of this overhead look,
right?
Which I didn't like. It makes it more difficult for me, or I don't know if it's just because I'm not used to that kind of view. Obviously, with more modern games, you've got a different perspective where you're able to see your enemies or see the terrain in a different light. But this has an overhead view, and it focuses primarily on stealth, so I understand why that's important. And then you use your little mini-map radar so that you can maneuver around. And stealthily move throughout the stage work through the story.
You're not completely limited by that, though. You can jump to first person at any point you want to like look around your actual environment.
Right, but can't move in it, can you?
I don't believe so.
No,
I'm trying
not
to
really.
Remember my interactions. I think you have to just stop and like look, and then you go back to the top-down view while your character moves around.
So we don't need to understate this game's release. It is and was a huge deal. They sold 6 million copies. I'm not sure where that ranks on like the PlayStation 1's like most sold game, but even if you're not a fan, which I'm not a fan, not like I don't like it, I just didn't play them. You know what it is, and like people love this series, and it's had a large impact on like, and we've already mentioned how it had an impact on the stealth genre, but also just like storytelling. Like this game's writing is really good for a video game.
Did we mention who is behind it? I know we said Konami.
We didn't.
No, I mean,
this is Kojima.
It's Kojima. Yeah.
This so is like, the dude who's like, this guy's legendary. He's a genius, and I was blown away just by the writing of the game. And it's not like the best quality ever, but it's also not corny. And
it is at times, to be fair.
Yeah, thanks. It has its moments.
Not to the degree that like video games around this time had.
Right.
The
I mean, it's still a good story. Yeah.
It felt like a movie.
Yeah. Well,
now that I will give you. They did a really good job of like integrating it and how they told it. I thought some of the dialogue was pretty cheesy.
Sure.
I thought it just sort of was one of those things that sometimes was ridiculous and then would get more ridiculous. And then right as you thought it was as ridiculous as it could be, it would get more ridiculous. And so I had a little bit of hard time like suspending disbelief with a story like itself, but it was presented really well.
I did find out one thing, though.
What'd you find out?
May from Overwatch is based on May from Metal Gear. I don't think that's actually true, but I believe it. Because it sounds like May, and it's her name. So,
May, which one was May? One of the girls that's talking to you on your comp?
Yeah, she was like the your gear technician, like okay. told you how and to like use all of the radar stuff.
The catty girl, but that was like something about you could undress her if you make it through this mission.
Yeah,
that's some May. Of the dialogue, by the way. Which so I started off liking Snake, and I still like him, but the guy's kind of a D-bag, man.
Yeah, he really is. But he knows it.
He's got this vibrato about him. I feel like I want to put him and Rambo in a room and see what happens.
He's kind of creepy. Like, if you I was a female, I'd be a little creeped out by him. If I
no, you just want to go back and play Rambo again. That's
I
want to
play
I'm
Rambo.
Not Rambo.
I actually want to play Metal Gear Solid. In fact, let's talk about some of its gameplay in the next section.
Let's do it. Gameplay. Kenny, you mentioned that this is the third installment, the first 3D version of this series. So, and Dustin, you mentioned the top-down view. So the games before this were like completely top-down, 2D, hide behind stuff, look where people or look where the guards are looking and sneak. And
yeah, totally different games.
Yeah.
So very, very the same, but different.
Right,
feel
and
completely.
It reminds me of last week. I mean, hear me out. It was Bomberman, but the top-down view, but also the fact that that Bomberman 64 was a switch in the series for them, where they went into a 3D and more adventure-like gameplay. And I feel like the same thing happened this week with our game. They were branching out and changing the series in the direction it was going. So what you kind of mentioned it a little bit, Dustin. What did you think of the like blending of the top-down and the 3D view? Like,
I understand why they did top-down, and it makes sense in the stealth kind of game where really what I really appreciate about this game is that it's not focused on combat whatsoever.
Right.
In fact, I played the majority of my game. In fact, I played, so up until a certain point, I didn't kill anybody until there was a forced shootout. And
right.
then
you
even
have
after
to have
the
one shootout,
you have to have that shootout.
You have to like battle some of the bosses.
Sure.
And there's you one have or to, two other places where really the only way to deal with it is with violence. But the majority of the time, you can do just stealth.
Yep. Yeah, and so I like that, and so I understand the overhead look on that. What I do appreciate and thought it was a really cool function was that when you press against walls, you're back against a wall, the camera pans down and allows you to get a better perspective, mm-hmm. which is just kind of novel for this time.
No, it was
time,
really
that,
well done.
That it allows you to do that, and you can see the enemy coming to you, because there's a lot of opportunities where you are in an alcove, and the enemy is walking, you see him coming on your radar, and then you can just press yourself up against the wall and wait there until he passes. So I still the overhead still kind of was something that I had to work through and had to learn how to maneuver around, mm-hmm. and I got caught often at first because it wasn't the most intuitive. But once you get a hang of it, you understand why that they decided to go that route. Then it makes sense and it becomes fun.
And I want to point out how useful that mini map is for me. Like, I was looking at it constantly because it shows them the field of view or whatever of your enemies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I was looking at that so much. I don't know if that was intentional.
I think so. When you get to those levels where you're not allowed to have it, it really does make you feel way more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely. I think that's intentional because you get used to it and then they take it away. And so it even really helps propel how they tell story and set mood. And I thought the level design kind of decisions on that front were really good.
Well, like, it also makes me wonder if they take it away in higher difficulties, because I played on normal, but
I played on normal.
How
as well.
Do they
Kenny
make
probably
it?
Went to easy.
No, I played on normal.
How do they
I was
make
tempted,
it more
though.
Difficult? You know, because it's already kind of hard. And I wonder if they take your map away or like make the guards have longer vision. I don't know.
Yeah, I would imagine it's just like higher life on bosses or more damage from bosses.
Yeah.
More maybe. Guards.
I wonder, though,
more,
I wonder if
you
it's
know.
More guards. More guards would change
that's
the, change
probably
your gameplay entirely.
Because the game's it's about stealth, so they're going to make that part harder. I should have played it just to see, but you're probably right, Dustin. I'd imagine there's more like guards and stuff to dodge.
That'd be really cool. A lot of the gameplay, however, is chopped up by your support team. And
yeah.
What was kind of a cool feature, what kind of was a cool feature at the start of the game, like I loved, here's what you got. You can click select at any time, and then you can move through your saved radio channels to connect with some of your support team. So that's really cool. But what seemed like an awesome feature at first quickly became burdensome because they contacted you every 30 seconds
time.
And then would stay on with you for a good minute or two
with like small talk and jokes.
It was a great storytelling device, but they overused it too much. In fact, one of my complaints about this game was normally we like have a spectrum and we're always like, we wish there was more story. We wish there was more story. We wish there was more story. This one, I was like, let me play the video game.
Yeah.
Like at least in parts of it, you know, there were other moments in the game where it was well balanced, but there was some times that I was like, stop with the cutscenes. Let me have a controller and navigate. This game is fun. I want to be playing it. And they leaned really, really heavy into the story. Yeah. It was fun at times. And I think part of why the game is so popular is that, you know, there is all this world and these really interesting and weird characters.
Yeah, I think you'll either love it or hate it. Probably hate it, most of you. But, like, I liked it. It was pretty welcomed by me.
Like, the story? Are you talking about the story or the game itself?
Both. Like, the story and then the way that it interrupts you with that talking. I don't know. I really think the writing at this time in gaming history was well above what it historically was. And so, like, I was able to enjoy it. I don't know. And also, you may be annoyed by the characters. So I think it's super dependent. You'll love it or you hate it. But I didn't get that too bothered by it.
For me, I don't think it's a love or hate game. I think those two elements could be a love or hate.
Sure, that's what I'm saying.
I do think here's what kept going through my head, and I think it was probably some of the graphics, because it wasn't the. I want to compare and contrast a little bit right now. GoldenEye 007 for mm-hmm. N64 and Metal Gear Solid. Different games, but some similarities, but some stark differences. Yeah. So similar in the look and feel for me, like some of the graphics looked similar, and that feel of that kind of like dark, kind of like shady, like something big's going on and you're in the middle of it, and then you're a secret agent. So all of those things. But honestly, not talking even about multiplayer, because obviously that's where GoldenEye shined, but in this game they added a story element. There was story in GoldenEye, but it was very bland.
It's just mimic the movie. Yeah,
this one is thick and robust and deep, and they're creating it and nobody knows about it. You're coming inside to play this game without any kind of preconceived ideas or understanding of the story. And so when they start to roll out these really cool enemies, because it's a team of enemies that is working against your team there. And
Foxhound.
So like Psycho Mantis, who has the ability to mess with people's heads, and then your first real enemy, Revolver Ocelot, who's like mm-hmm. this Western sharpshooter gentleman. Like all
they,
of those,
they went over the top with the characters for sure. But
no,
it was fun.
I'm all about the characters.
No,
I'm all about the characters.
It's kind of anime of them to do that, but this is a Japanese game, so I mean.
Well, later on,
sweet.
Nolan, I don't know if you got this far, but later on, so after you fight the cyborg ninja, you rescue. Like a technician that's there, and he was like, that guy looked, he says, that guy looked just like an enemy on the animes that I watch. So, like, they call it out and are aware.
He, like, talks about how his inspiration for getting into science mm-hmm. was that he wanted to build giant robots, and then built a giant robot.
Yeah, like the Metal Gear.
Yeah.
See, I love that they just called themselves out on that. That's intentional and awesome.
And you can see it, too, even in, like, the character, the support character that's kind of the Asian one. Her mannerisms and the way she talks and looks, and like they just leaned really heavy into who their audience was mm-hmm. and like catering to it. Even with some of the kind of like more mature content in terms of how Solid Snake interacts with people and talks and those kind of things, it really was just like, we know who our audience is. Here's a game that's kind of ridiculous, but that we think will just like push all the right buttons for you.
Aged. The thing, though, that I struggled with the most, or at least one of the things that bothered me all throughout and took me out of the immersion of the game, was the graphics, specifically the faces. For some reason, they decided to go with no faces, just indentions. And so, seriously, if you don't know, if you can't get this image in your head, and then Kenny, you can rebuttal me, like imagine Play-Doh pressed in to form a face, and that's what you're looking at.
I was going to argue with you and say it wasn't that bad, because it wasn't that bad.
It
but
was terrible.
When you said Play-Doh pushed in with a face imprint, and I like pictured what that would look like in a video game, that description actually nailed it. I didn't have a big problem with it, because I thought they, you know, I mean, you're a little limited in what you can do here. That's hard. But, and they still got across characters and who was who and those kind of things, but it definitely was a little bit Play-Doh face.
At least they went into detail on the tech screens.
Yeah.
Those looked good. Those models.
Oh, when you're talking to your support team, absolutely. Everyone's drawn out so perfectly, but that's in 2D. And then when they move to 3D, they're like, guys, what do we do with the faces? And then some guy raises his hand and he's like, hey, let's just do some Play-Doh indentions. I mean, and they're like, let's go with it.
But yeah, but like, that's what they had.
At least they didn't fall into the like really terrible polygon trap. As bad as most 64.
I think GoldenEye
does.
Was worse on that front.
Yeah, I would probably want this over the just rough polygons. I guess so, but it's just rough when you've got a long dialogue. So when he's talking with that, I guess he's a scientist, an arms dealer. He's something that
he's
rescuing,
like in captivity or whatever.
Yeah, from the cell. There's a long conversation between them, but there's no mouth, so it's not moving. And then you're just looking from Play-Doh face to Play-Doh face, and it's rough.
Yeah, I could get past it. I never really get hung up on graphics when I'm judging the age of it. I mean, unless it's just obviously like the worst. But we haven't run into too many of those scenarios, so like I kind of knew what I was expecting, more of like a polygon or Play-Doh face feel.
And it didn't break me from the story. Like, they did such a good job of telling the story from the original like cinematic. That's sort of interactive, which is super fun when you can do the like load screen that feels movie-esque but still let you interact with what's going on. Great way to handle that. All the way through, like they did such a good job with that stuff that like some of the graphic kinds of things and places that I could have been hung up, they didn't bother me that much.
However, you're talking about story. I think the cutscenes today, if they were done today, would be unacceptable. They are unbelievably lengthy at times. Some of them are welcomed, especially at the beginning of a game. You usually have that, but this lasted all throughout the game, and they were unbelievably long. The scene after you fight Ocelot with the arms tech president is a good half hour. It might not be that much, but it feels like that. Like, it is very, very, very long.
No, I spent hours playing this game. This week, and I felt like I played
15 minutes,
40 minutes
of
like, you know, in control of my character. And that's for like a lot of story. It really was almost more like Metal Gear Solid, the slightly interactive movie that we released on the PlayStation.
Yeah. You never want a game that you're playing to remind you of Atlantis.
Well, that's true, but it has never reminded me of Atlantis. That is going too far.
It didn't remind me of Atlantis, maybe.
Too far.
I'm just saying. Okay, so maybe the sci-fi one we played where with Mulder and Scully. It reminded me of
X-Files game.
That's a little more fair.
Yeah.
But you won't let me do Atlantis?
No, that's a whole beast on its own. We don't talk about that stupid. I don't know the lengthy cutscenes were a little rough, and I was going to disagree with you when you said it'd be unacceptable, but then you said the length of them, and I think I'd agree with that, because now they've really toned down like the like how much you are out of the gameplay and watching something
instead of
interacting. I don't know who I'm talking about, just like games now kind of make you more part of an interactive process with the cutscenes. And it reminds me of that era on the PlayStation. Like, if I think about Final Fantasy games on the PlayStation, cutscenes galore. Like, Final Fantasy IX has some pretty rough ones.
You had skills in Final Fantasy that you wanted to use that you could, like, start and walk away and come back on. That's how willing they were to let something just play.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Dustin, you threw down some Knights of the Round. Like, you get that some of that's just this genre.
Oh, but they can't do that anymore. That's a retro game, though. They can't
anymore. And they definitely couldn't get away with it anymore. People would be like, I'm bored.
Well, right. Either way, like, the really weird story of this game and the way that you play it, interact with it, whatever, had some sort of impact on people. And whether we get it or not, like, Kojima is brilliant, and his series went off. Like, the most recent Metal Gear looks amazing. I haven't played it because I'm not familiar with the series, and I feel like I usually don't feel this way Dustin does, but in this case I'd want to play all of them before I got into that, because it's a very in-depth story from what I hear. So like, yeah, it had some sort of impact.
The series actually continues with like same characters and
newest one that came out, it's like Snake came back one last time from retirement too.
It's sick. Like,
so good.
And he's old and like...
Yeah, it's dope.
Always one of the big signs for me of like, this game is good, is feeling like you need to go back and keep playing it. And I didn't get completely through the game this week. So I'm like, I don't know, halfway, three quarters of the way through the story. I don't know how long this thing is. I hope I'm a good portion of the way there. Give me a percentage if you guys have a better sense of like the whole story, because you guys either played through it or
I mean, don't spoil it, man. Because I'm gonna continue playing.
I'll say something without spoiling, and if you've gotten as far as me, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm at the point where bad things are happening, and you're having to spam the O button.
The O button?
I think you probably got further
is that a
than mini us.
Game or something.
Okay, I'm not too much further from what you've said. Then you'll see
I went
when
through
you get there.
About where I've talked about with the ninja.
Ocelot.
It's close to where I am. No, I'm
okay.
I'm
I got a little bit further.
And that's kind of where I am too, Dustin.
But like, I want to see what happens with this story, even though it's ridiculous and these characters are ridiculous and they're heavy-handed and they take more time with the story. And I wish I had more playtime. I wish that ratio was more in line. I want to know what happens, and I'm either gonna go just spoil myself and like, you know, read through it online or something, or I'm going to go get through the rest of the game because it hooked me.
Yeah, there's a really big write-up, and it's huge, like in-depth write-up on Reddit, or on that subreddit for Metal Gear whenever the new game came out, and I almost read through it, but I was like,
was
maybe
like
I'll play
so
one day.
Far.
Yeah, so you could get caught up for the game, and I was like, I'll wait on that.
Well, I found this week, if you're this kind of guy, there is a 4-hour HD YouTube video that takes you through the story from the beginning the end.
I would be interested.
So that it can get you caught up to the most recent game.
They like cut it through as a, like a movie or something?
They cut it through, so they use the cutscenes, which there are plenty, but then it also cuts in their gameplay, so you get the connecting part.
Okay.
And it does it in a way that you're not watching him walk from all the way from point A to point B, but that you can know what he has to get through to be able to get to the locations. So
that's crazy.
That's worth looking into. But also,
honestly, he only had to edit out like 5 minutes of gameplay to get to that point.
Right. so, like Nolan said, and then we'll move on. Not only did this game do something so that it continued a series and even produced a game this last year, I believe, or the year before, that was very successful. It spawned, and we started the episode with this. It spawned almost single-handedly the stealth genre.
It popularized.
That's a better way. Popularized the stealth genre and really gave it the boost that it needed to get into the limelight and become such a fantastic and sought out game and type of game to play even today.
Yeah, for sure.
Can I just say there was a shaman? Sorry, I can't get over the creativity on these characters.
The foxhound dude?
Yeah.
I saw that. I cocked my head. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. They just,
and it
like,
also
the
rhymed
diversity
with his name.
From like psychics to cowboy Russians to a shaman to basically his clone brother. I don't know. I keep getting hung up on how willing to just be kooky and tell a big story they were. And it was fun, clearly.
The final shell shock.
But do we give this game our vote for New Game Plus status, which simply means do we suggest to our viewers that they find a copy of this game and they play it and that they'll enjoy it? Or do we say to reserve your game playing time for a different retro game?
I don't want to give Kenny a power again. He should go first.
It takes two of us. It takes two, baby. It takes two of us to for an affirmative, and then it takes two of us to decline this as well. Two of us have to agree. The majority vote. Let's start with Kenny then, so he doesn't have the power.
I've been breaking ties for a couple of weeks, so I'll kick us off. You said something really key, and that is do we recommend that people give their time to this game? And I have had to remember that if we are recommending this game through our New Game Plus status, we're not asking people to go sit down and play a platformer that's going to take 15 minutes. We are basically saying if you want this full story and actually want to do a playthrough, you're going to have to go back and have a retro game with retro game graphics compete for your time for hours. And you're not even going to get to necessarily push the buttons all those times. You're going to be watching some cutscenes. You're going to be listening to the story as it unfolds. And so we just got to realize that that this is a harder ask than yes. sometimes it is.
Yes, but we're not asking them to complete the game. We're asking you don't them have to play it. The game. So just keep that in mind.
Okay, that's fair.
Or Kenny's been like wrong this whole time. He's been thinking we're like, you have to beat it.
Yeah. Some of these weeks, I just wouldn't have like gone into work if we had to beat the game.
Final Fantasy.
They're big. I know.
What do you mean, Kenny? This is our full-time job.
Not yet.
So all of that said, I think we've got to be a little bit realistic and note that this game was great and the story's amazing. And even though it's a little corny sometimes, and even though it is a lot of a time investment, there's a reason it got so popular. And I wanted that to be more dramatic and seem like I didn't like this game, but I loved it. It sucked me in. The music hooked me. The whole opening cutscene, like by the time it was done, I was just like, I get it. This game's popular. I know why. And I'm about to have a good time. And then I did. Yeah. And new game plus for me, like for sure.
Well, I agree. It's an easy one for me to give new game plus status. I think it's a quality game. It has its faults, and we mentioned some of them. It's aged in some considerable ways. However, it introduces a lot of fun concepts into gaming and has such an interesting and compelling narrative that I think it's you can latch onto that. I see, in playing this game, I see why the series and the genre has so much hype built around it.
Absolutely.
I think that it's justified, and I don't think that it's overdone. Whereas there are some games where they have hype, and I play it and I'm like, no, like this is just a cult following for no reason. But this game lives up to the hype, in spite of its flaws, is a great game. I do give it my vote for New Game Plus status.
Yeah. One of the things that I super appreciate about Metal Gear Solid and the series as a whole is the creator and the amount of effort and love and passion he put into it.
Yeah.
He's always been vocal about it. The fans have always adored him because he delivers with story and whatever this game is. we can't really describe it. And to the point where if someone, in this case Konami, is not going to support what he's wanting, he's like, okay, I'm gonna go make my good game for my fans, and he leaves. So like, that's such a cool aspect of it for me. So that adds to why I'm giving it New Game Plus. But also, just this game to me was fun. It was enjoyable. I can play Dishonored and see the impact and influence that this game had on it, and I have to appreciate that. So hugely important game in history of gaming. So yeah, unanimous.
And just fun. Like, that's always a big one for me. It's just like, was it enjoyable? And this isn't my go-to genre by any means. You know, if you were like, hey, we're gonna play a 3D stealth action adventure game, I'd have been like, okay, maybe it'll be all right. I'd rather play something else. But this, it was just a really, really fun game.
Yeah, so it does get our vote for New Game Plus status. We had some viewers that contacted us this week and gave their own input. Nathan tweeted us and he said, about half an hour into a Let's Play of this week's game, and I'm asking myself, is MGS a video game or is it a movie?
It's a valid question.
Well, it's primarily a movie, Nathan, and then you get to play it a little bit.
A little bit.
But it's still worth your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Holden said in an email, this game was a hole in my childhood, probably because I was too busy on the N64 to worry about PlayStation during that time.
Shots.
But with that being said, I was super excited to pick this game up and play it because I have heard so much about it and have always wanted to try out the Metal Gear series. Well, it wasn't all it was cracked up to be for me. I understand the appeal, and it has a large following, so I must respect it, but I just didn't have fun with the game. It felt like a not-as-good Splinter Cell, and wasn't that enjoyable. However, the controls were pretty fluid, and the storyline was pretty good. I think it will get New Game Plus status, but only because of how good it is supposed to be, and not because of how good it actually is.
Dang, wow. Holden. hang on. Calling you just compared it to a Tom Clancy game and said it wasn't as good as this.
But that's another game that's that has notoriety. I mean,
but not like this, man. This is so
and
different.
It's, and it's similar kind of like idea.
Splinter Cell is the one that I played more as a kid.
This is more so a storytelling game.
We have been more than willing lots of times to see a popular game and to go, we don't get it. It doesn't get
sure.
New Game Plus.
Yeah, I agree. And that's not why I gave it New Game Plus. I liked the game. But
if you want to fight Holden.
Yeah, if you want to fight me, you know where I live. He reached out to me this week asking about the Wii U and if he should go for that. And I told him to wait for the Switch, but I don't know if that's a good advice or not.
Yeah.
But we'll
see.
That
I mean, that's definitely your opinion, Holden. And once again, it's wrong. But thanks for sending in your thoughts. No, for real, man. That's great. Bradley, he also sent us an email and he said, hey guys, it's not every week that you get to play the father of 3D action adventure stealth games and the game that launched the stealth genre into the mainstream. I think it's safe to say that MGS was ahead of its time. I remember being blown away as a kid. I had to use stealth to even play the game since it was rated immature. That I could switch from looking around in first person to seeing things overhead and that I could see the breath from the genome soldiers in the cold. Yeah, that is actually a really good point. I'm not going to rant about this game too much, but I will say that in my opinion, Metal Gear Solid is one of, if not the best game for the original PlayStation. I haven't played them all yet, not all the PlayStation games, all the Metal Gear games, but it might also be safe to say that this is Hideo Kojima's best Metal Gear game. The amount of detail and love that's put into it creates an extremely intense, compelling, and unforgettable experience that everyone will vividly remember after years of playing. Everyone needs to play it. Play it now if you haven't already. Thank you, guys.
I thought you weren't
going
to rant.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Hey,
Bradley rants is like three pages. So.
It's true. There was a pretty bold statement in there about it being one of the best PlayStation titles across the board.
I bet a lot of people would agree with that, though.
Probably. But, like, as much as I can like this game and say,
Final Fantasy,
New Game
though.
Plus status all the way, I can't go that far. I really can't. Too much show and tell, not enough...
Meat and potatoes.
Kickball. Yeah.
Meat
like
and
I
potatoes,
wanted,
yeah.
I wanted kickball. To, you know, get my hands on it a little more.
Ooh. Huh. Well, Kenny, maybe you should do a secret episode on the top 10 best games on the PlayStation.
Oh, are you qualified for that, Kenny?
Might.
I'd
no,
love to
I'm
hear
not.
That.
I'd have to play some games. I'd have to play a couple of titles. There's a few that I've put some time into, I know.
However, Bradley, we obviously agree with you. We gave it our New Game Plus status. We think it's a quality game as well. Thank you, Bradley, for actually suggesting it this week. He is our patron that put this one into the mix, and it was randomly selected out
Very
of the
cool.
small pool for the Patreon pool. So thank you for suggesting the game. It was a lot of fun.
It absolutely was. I'm glad I got more exposure to this series. I had seen and was familiar with these games, didn't know it. I'd watched a lot of this playthrough as a kid and didn't know that this was the Metal Gear games. And so when we got into it, I went, yep, I get it. So I'm glad to now be fully on board.
And now it is that time of the episode where we randomly select our next retro video game. And so out of our retro master list, which you can find linked to on our social media, you can see what games that we have on that list, what games we played, what games we've given our New Game Plus status, and which games we haven't. If you don't see a game on there that you think should be on there, whether it's a great game or a game that you want us to suffer through, then feel free to send us those titles and we will make sure to include them on the list. However, out of that list right now, we are going to randomly select and we are spinning the randomizer now. And the next game that we are playing for the next 7 days is a 2000 release.
Oh, wow.
So barely old enough.
Barely made that.
Barely made that.
Actually, we're in 2017 now.
Oh, man, we're 2 years in.
Oh, that's
true. All right,
so
it's on Game Boy Color. Whoo!
Oh, yeah. I love GBC.
Well, do you love this one? Because we're playing Doug's Big Game.
Doug's Big Game.
Like Doug,
as
the
in
TV
like,
show?
Yeah, like Quellboy.
He doesn't need a game. But I love the show, so we'll
see. Just for the music, I'm a little bit hyped. Let's be real.
Yeah, I liked that show a lot, but I don't have high expectations
for
Game Boy
Color. No, I don't think it's
going
to translate well to a video game, but we'll find
what?
Out.
You don't think it's going to be the best game for the Game Boy Color?
I mean... No, I don't. That's easy.
Yeah, it's probably going to be pretty bad, but that's okay because we played a really good game this week. Maybe it'll give us more time to play Metal Gear Solid.
I'm hype. I don't know. I'm interested.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us for this very special Patreon pool episode. Want to give a special shout out and thanks to our Patreon supporters, those of you that have joined us and really come into the family and have shown your love and appreciation for us through your support financially. I mean, it means the world to us, and that's why we're being able to produce greater quality content for you. This episode should be, fingers crossed, higher quality than the last and all 65 episodes before this one. We have upgraded some of our resources and materials for this episode. And yep. So we've got some big things planned in the future, and it's because of your generous support yes. that we are able to do these things.
Yeah, it's going right back into the show because we want to bring you guys the best quality that we can bring you and entertainment for you. So just know that, you know, it's going back to you. So thanks so much. And a special thanks to Bradley and to Zion.
Yeah.
They are our top Patreon supporters. They're producers on our show, and they really, really are the backbone of what we do. So special thanks to them as always.
You can find us this week on social media, Facebook or Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can email us, ngppodcast@gmail.com. Not only your game suggestions for the Retro Master List, but you can send in your commentary over Doug's big game as you play with us this week. You're not going to play with us, are you?
Please.
We'll have some people play. I know we will.
I don't know if we will. You can always listen directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, any of the other podcast providers. Make sure you're subscribed so that you can be one of the first ones to get New Game Plus episodes. If you haven't, go leave a 5-star review and rating and review on iTunes so that other people can find out about New Game Plus. If you're interested in getting in on the next Patreon pool or see some of the other things that we are creating, content that we're creating on a weekly basis, you can visit us at patreon.com/NGP podcast. We want to say a special welcome to our new Patreon supporters.
Yeah, this is exciting.
We had three that signed up to be a part of the team this last week. Regina, Antonin, and Jerry. We greatly Antonin. Appreciate your support. Antonin.
Yeah. Thanks our so boy much. Antonin has been yeah. with us since
faithful,
day one.
Faithful
he has,
viewer.
He is so faithful.
Thanks
and he
so
decided
much,
to start 2017 right by supporting NGP.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Join us next week as we play Doug's Big Game. Until then, I'm Revolver Ocelot.
I'm no one, the only normal person on this show.
And this has been a Patreon-supported episode of New Game Plus.